Welcome to an incredible day. You know, this is a really good time for us to look at where we've come, you know, as we're thinking about the next year and what we're investing in, how we're going to invest our time in all of this. And so today's a good day for us to look at how our church is making an impact on our community, both here and also around this nation and around the world. And so we are really happy to welcome Crystal Zamora, who is working with Navigators in San Antonio doing campus ministry, and also Lauren Kish, who's been one of our missionaries for 5 years to Rome, Italy, working with Crew. And so if you guys would help me welcome them, they are going to be sharing with you what God is doing in their areas of ministry. Crystal?
Hi. So like he said, I'm Crystal Zamora, and I'm with the Navigators in their collegiate ministry, part of their ministry, in San Antonio, Texas. And growing up, I was here my whole life. Grew up in Bellevue, Nebraska. I lived in Papillion the last couple of years. My family goes here, Tom and Vanessa Zinski. And I went to the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. And so I've been in this area from all of my life, just within the same hour of Nebraska since the day I was born. And so being in San Antonio is a little bit of a culture shock. But basically, I'm going to go three places today. I'm going to start with my start, then my motivation, and then my calling. And so for my start, it was here in youth group. And getting to be in that youth group, I was really encouraged and challenged just to start reading the Bible for myself. And that was really the foundation that of why I'm in San Antonio, is just reading through the Bible and seeing who God is, seeing what he calls us to be, seeing his heart for me, his heart for my friends. And that was a big part of me going to college. I wanted to get away from friends in here so I could just start over and have a good foundation just like in the Lord. And so you're probably thinking, I joined a sorority in college. Like, why did she join a sorority? She's trying to find got a good foundation. And so I was a Tri-Delta in college. I am a Tri-Delta. And that was amazing, just to be challenged and see just the lives of non-Christians. And obviously I saw that earlier, and I saw that throughout my life. But for them to be able to live right next to me, live in the bunk above me. I lived in the coffin one of my years, and we called it the coffin because it was like this low to the ground, and I had to like roll into it. But it was really cool just to get to live there. And within the first 2 weeks of me being there, a junior in my sorority, Jill, saw me and just said, hey, I heard that you like Jesus. Do you want to like go grab smoothies sometime and just talk about that? And I was like, yeah, you're a junior. I'm a freshman in college. We can do whatever you want. And so we went and got coffee and smoothies, and she just walked through my freshman year with me. And walked just through life with me, and it wasn't just like how to be a good Christian girl. It was how to live for God in whatever season I'm in, and whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm living for. And so she taught me a lot about how to be a good sister. I'm the middle of seven, and just learning more about how to love my siblings, how to be a good daughter. How to be a good student for the professors I was working with, how to live with integrity. It was just a whole life thing. And prior to that, I kind of put God in this little compartment of my life. And so college and my mentor, Jill, really helped me with that. And then after my freshman year, I went to a summer training program. And it's basically, Crew has them too, it's basically just an intense discipleship program. And you work 40 hours a week, and they just try and show you, this is what life's going to be like. How are you going to fit Jesus into that? And so I went there after my freshman year, and then after my sophomore year, I was a team leader. And my team's up there. We just got reunited in Fayetteville this summer, and we've done a reunion every year since then. But just getting to see, like, that was the first time being a team leader where I was living with four girls who were younger than me, And I really thought, you know, I could do this for the rest of my life. I love this. I love just knowing God and doing what he wants me to do, whatever that is. I was an advertising major in college, so that could have been there in my internships I had throughout there. But just seeing, I really love that. So that was my start. My motivation, really, when I think about why do I do what I do? Why do I do full-time ministry? I think of like faces and names, just thinking about my friend Christina, Allison. There's Christina and Allison right there. Three of my friends, Molly, Kathleen, Casey, and seeing them, and you, I mean, you sitting here, you'll see pictures of them, but you'll never know them as well as I do because I got to spend weeks upon weeks upon weeks with them and just seeing their lives, seeing their hearts. I know their families probably almost better than I know my own. I've spent a lot of time with them. And so that's just been amazing just to see, to think about how God's changed their lives, how they are different women now, and I am a different woman now as a result of investing in them. That makes me want to keep doing that. It makes me want to keep investing in the lives of people and seeing God just change them and do a 180. So the other part of my motivation is just thinking about eternity. And my campus director at UNL would always say, there's only three things that last for eternity: God, God's word, and people's souls. And so as I thought about, you know, what do I want to do for a living? What do I want to do for the rest of my life? I thought, I want to live for eternity. I want to see what God will do in eternity through my life. And I want to live for those things that he prioritizes. And so I spent a lot of time in college just seeking God, seeking him, trying to know him more, a lot through his word. And that just really propelled me to be able to want to see people's souls change, people's lives change. And that's really, like, when I started reading the Bible was really when I started talking to my friends about Jesus, because I was like, man, this guy is really cool. Have you seen him? He's, like, really sweet. And so I started learning more about who God is, learning that, you know, like last week, he's not just flannel graph Jesus holding a lamb, but he's a really cool and challenging man who now I get to live my life for and model everything I do off of him. And so that's a huge part of my my motivation to keep doing what I'm doing. And then my calling, I guess, I mean, we're all called to be missionaries, but specifically for me, as I was approaching the end of college, I kept asking myself, you know, like, what gets me up in the morning? What do I do in my free time? What gives me life? And I saw that in all my free time, I was going to coffee shops to meet up with girls, or I was sharing with my really good friend who's just having lunch and dinner with him, just struggling through life. And that's what I wanted to do. That's what gave me, like, and it was just fun. It wasn't like I was tired, but it was fun just to invest into them and to see God start to change their lives. And so I thought, you know, like, this is what I do in all my free time anyways. I could get paid for this, you know, not very much, but I could get paid for it. And so I was like, well, let's see what God has. And so before my senior year, a campus director in San Antonio called and said, hey, we want you on San Antonio. And I said, nah, I'm good. But then I said, okay, I'll pray about it. And ended up visiting San Antonio in November. And as I was about to head down there, I said, you know, God, I've seen you work in Nebraska. I've seen you work here. And in Exodus 33, Moses has a discussion with God. And he says, okay, we're moving places. But he kind of argues with God a little bit. He says, you know, if we're not going to go if you don't come with us, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going to go. So I was like, okay, I'm going to echo that and say, Lord, like, I'm not going to go to San Antonio if I don't see you moving here, if this is not where you've made me distinct, where you want me to be. And so that was a big part of me wanting to go to San Antonio. Then when I arrived, I was in, like, the preparation for that. I was just praying, you know, Lord, I don't really want just to be sitting there not praying anything as I'm preparing to go there. So what should I pray? What should I pray for this city? And Isaiah 43 came to mind, Isaiah 43, 4-7. And so God's saying, Crystal, like, because you are precious in my eyes, because I love you, not because, you know, you're a Tri-Delta, not because you really enjoy football and you're really good at, you know, watching the Huskers lose or something, not because you graduated college, not any of that, but because I love you, because you're precious to me, I'm going to give people in exchange for your life. And so I said, okay, God, like, I'm going to give you my life. Will you give people in exchange for it? Will you bring people into the kingdom of God that are going to be worshiping with us forever because of my life? I'll do it, if that is so. And at the end of that verse, it says, from the north and the south, the east and the west, he's going to gather his offspring, people who were formed and created for him. And so I said, all right, I want to see that. If you are big, you are powerful, and I want to be a part of it. Would you just include me in your plan for the nations and your plan for this world? And so that's a bit of my start, my motivation and my calling. And there's a lot more than that. But doing what I do and being a part of what God's purpose, I wouldn't trade for anything. So I get to hear a little bit more about Lauren.
Thanks, Crystal. Always fun to hear what's going on in other countries like Texas, you know. Yeah, well, my name is Lauren Kish, and I serve with CRU in Rome, Italy, also working with university students, but Italian students. But what's amazing is since I've been there, going in with the vision to reach Italians, God has also brought other nations into my life and into my coworkers' lives. And so we have the opportunity to reach the nations, not only Italians, but people from all over the globe. And so I just want to tell you a couple stories of what God's doing in some of my friends' lives there in Rome right now. And some of you might know the passage in the book of Acts, chapter 17. It's a famous part of Paul's life when he's in the city of Athens and he's speaking to the men there preaching the gospel. And there's a famous verse that says, God has appointed the seasons and the times and the places on earth where men would live that they might seek him and find him and come to know him as their savior. And so I've been reminded of that, not only through friends that have worked with refugees, because refugees are displaced so often, and they might not know it at the time, but God is moving their stories that they might come to know him. But I've also seen that in the lives of some of my friends who have come to Rome to study. And so this first story is about my friend named Omid. And you'll see a couple pictures, that's him in the middle. And his name in Farsi means hope, which is really interesting and really cool. He's not yet a Christian, but I think, wow, with a name like Hope, it's like, how can you not come to Christ at some point? But we met Omid about 8 months ago when Tim Keller, some of you might have heard of him, he's an author and a pastor in New York City. He wrote a book called The Reason for God, which is a really great resource in apologetics of the Christian faith. And so Tim came to Rome this past May to do an outreach on the University of La Sapienza, which is the hugest university in Rome, 180,000 students. And so we met Omid one day, we were passing out flyers, and he wheeled by, he's in a wheelchair, he has, I don't know if it's MS or MD, he has a muscular disorder, it's degenerative, it's really challenging in his life, but he came by, and we gave him a flyer, he came to this event that Tim Keller did, and that through that, he's kind of close to the gospel, but it's interesting that he'll say things about Christianity that I think he's really processing these things. So sometimes the people that seem the most closed are actually closer to coming to faith, in my opinion. But he's been coming to our English hour because he's fascinated with English and America, and he's like, can I go in your suitcase when you go? I'm like, no, America's not that great, whatever. But it seems to be from people that have been in challenging things, gone through hard things in their life like he has. And so he's been coming to English hour, and about a few months ago, he brought five of his other friends. And so you'll see, here's a picture of a dinner that we had, actually the friends hosted for us. And it was really amazing because they just rolled out the red carpet, put saffron in their meal, which is like a delicacy. It's very expensive. And so that was, I mean, it felt like they were washing our feet. Wonderful, wonderful meal. And my friends, Joel and Amy, who are also missionaries serving with me there in Rome, they have a tradition that Amy's mom had made her a homemade Advent calendar when they were little. So every day they pull out a different name of God and put it on the tree, and they're able to tell their children about it. And so they thought, wow, when they have this dinner for us, why don't we do that tradition at night? We didn't eat till 10. We were starving, but we were like, let's still talk about Jesus, even though we're hungry. And so they brought out the name of God. It was from John 11 when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live. And so we brought out the Bible in Farsi, which is their language, their Persian, Farsi, and we had them read it in Persian. And what was amazing, this guy sitting next to me that looks like Jesus, actually, with the glasses, his name is Esau, and in Farsi, that means Jesus. So it's kind of perfect. He's not the white figure that we usually think of. You know, Jesus was from this part of the world, so he probably looked more like Esau. And so Esau read this passage in his own language, and it was funny because it says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so when he's saying in Farsi, it's Esau goft. And so his friends all laughed because it's like Esau himself said, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. And so obviously he is not, but the Savior that he will come to know is the resurrection and the life. So through Omid, we met five of his other friends who now have, you know, thrown us a dinner. This was like a month ago. And are coming to English, and we've since got to share the gospel. The next picture is me and my friends, or I'm not in it, I don't think, but there's a picture of Ilar and Ghazal and Magdi at a Thanksgiving outreach that we had. So those are the two girls. So a week or so after the dinner, my friend Elizabeth and I got to sit down and share our testimony, our story of faith, and more about the gospel. And so we're praying that over Christmas, this Christmas season, they'll be reading some of the literature, the Farsi scripture that we gave to them, and will come to know Jesus. And so that's really powerful. I love just the story of connections through knowing one person who knew another person. You might meet someone that isn't super open to the gospel, but they'll introduce you to someone else that is. So, and then the second story I want to share about is my friend Kiara, who I mentioned to Patrick the last service. Kiara means clear in Italian. And so if you say the sky is clear, like il cielo è chiaro, the sky is clear. So I call her my clear one. She laughs about that. But I met Kiara, so she's the one with the Hard Rock Cafe t-shirt in the middle. That's when we met, about 4 years ago, on campus. I went up to her and started a conversation with her and her friends about God and asked what she believed. And at that time, we spent the next year probably or so reading the Bible, processing the gospel. And she was somewhat open, but just didn't see great need in her life at that time. So then we lost touch for about a year and a half. And in that time, she went through a really, really difficult period. Her parents were divorced when she was young, and her sister had something like autism. And at 15, she kind of had to take care of her sister because her parents were emotionally absent. So she went through a lot of bitterness and anger in that time, in that year and a half, processing with a counselor. And I decided to stay in Rome longer term at that point. And then I was on campus about 6-8 months ago, and I saw my friend Giacomo, and I went up to him to say hello at the chemistry faculty where Kiara was studying at that time. And I saw him and his girlfriend, and then I turned to meet their friend, this third girl who I thought I didn't know, and it was Kiara. And we freaked out, did a little happy dance. We're like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in a year and a half, you know? And so we decided to have coffee together the next week. And what she said to me, I'll never forget, was really powerful. She said, I don't think it was by chance that we lost touch, that I had to go through this really difficult year and a half in my life, and that you decided to stay in Rome, because I was thinking about leaving after 3 years, but I felt God say, you need to stay after the investment you've made. And so she told me that. I mean, to hear that from an Italian who's not yet a Christian, to say, you know, I think you were supposed to be here longer and that we were supposed to connect again, was really, really neat. So in these 6 months, we've been reading the Bible together. She's been eating it up. I challenged her to read 1 Peter because it was about suffering, and she read it in like 2 seconds. And so what's really neat is I think the best is not to hear from me, but to hear from her herself. She did a video for me in English, which was a challenge because we usually speak in Italian most of the time. And she wrote out her story. And so it's her journey toward God. I don't think she's yet there. I think she's about to jump off the cliff into knowing Jesus in a good way. And so you can hear a couple minutes from her and her story. I'll let her speak.
Hi, Nebraska! Oh, wow, how many of you are there? Okay, let me introduce myself. I'm Chiara. I live in Rome, where I study chemistry at the University La Sapienza, which means knowledge. And maybe I'm the only Italian who likes drinking a cappuccino at any time of the day. And in fact, in Italy, as a rule, we drink cappuccinos during breakfast only. But now, because of Lauren, I could drink one any hour. Speaking of Lauren, I met her 4 years ago during a lunch break at my university. And the first time that Lauren told me about God and His boundless love toward us, I immediately thought, but what's she saying? Because I always imagine God as a sort of severe judge, and I thought a God like that couldn't love me as I am. But maybe I had a wrong idea of who God was. 1.5 years ago, I went through a very difficult period, but this period gave me the possibility to dig deep inside myself. And more and more, I'm discovering a new strength within myself, and I'm coming to know God a little at a time. Maybe I'm not yet ready to fully accept God into my life, but something inside me is changing. You betcha! Okay, I think that's all. Ringrazio tutti voi per la vostra attenzione. E ciao Nebraska!
So part of our funny relationship, she and I, is I teach her American slang and she teaches me Italian. So that "you betcha," you know, was from me teaching her important English to know. So she was proud of that. So, yeah, someday it would be cool to bring her here and to have her see. I just made a video so she could see how great she did. But anyways, you guys are a part of Impacting Eternity in Rome and in San Antonio. And so people's stories like Omid and Isa and Kiara, you're a part of. So please pray for them. Pray that they would come to Christ and then impact wherever God has them in their life for eternity. So thanks.
All right, well, Doesn't that make you feel awesome about what we're doing and the people that we're supporting, who are sharing the gospel with people we will never meet? We don't have that access to them, and so every time you're generous or you're giving to reality, you're taking part. All of those stories, all of those people that we'll never meet, we're a part of those conversations, and we're a part of it because we've decided to give and see, well, God, what can you do? This is just like a dollar here. This is just like just what I can do. What can you do with it? And that's what Lauren and Crystal have done with their lives. They've said, look, this is just my life. This is just who I am. What can you do with it? And so thank you so much for sharing. It's been an incredible thing being able to hear what God is doing through you. And yet, those are the highlights, correct? I mean, when we look at somebody's Facebook profile, it's always the good stuff that we see. So in any ministry, there's challenges. There's things that, you know, just didn't, maybe aren't working out right now, or maybe some things that are just some barriers between what you see God wanting to do and what you can do. So Crystal, what are some of the challenges that you're facing there in San Antonio doing some college ministry?
Yeah, it is an interesting season of transition for me. And so there are challenges in ministry, just with differences in ministry. We're doing more of a city outreach right now rather than what I'm used to as on campus, more intentional. A lot of them are commuting or work full time. So there's challenges with that. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest challenge I've had in my year has just been with that transition, growing up here, always living here, and then transitioning to Texas, which, like, the people literally speak like a different language. You know, and they have the mentality that I think that they're from a different country. I think they would probably want that separation from
okay.
the rest of.
Okay. Now the first service, you didn't know that I was from Texas, but now you know that I'm from Texas, and you're still saying this. Okay. All right. I can take it.
Yeah. I didn't know at first, but now that I know, it makes so much more sense.
All right.
But that transition has been really challenging, and I feel like God's really stripped me of a lot of things in that, stripped me of what I could have placed my identity in or could have placed who I was in, and just made me say, okay, like if you are all I have, then I'm good. If you are the only strength that I can muster up for the day, then I'm better than good. And just brought to mind Isaiah 58:11, like, just he will guide me continually and satisfy my desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you should be like a well-watered garden whose waters do not fail. And I felt like I had experienced that scorched ground before. I think the biggest challenge has been feeling how scorched the ground is in Texas.
Yeah, all right. And Lauren.
So I can't follow that up. That was amazing. Yeah, just hearing Crystal speak, I told her last service that I think, you know, that transition period, we have tons of transitions in our life, but when you go away to do ministry, whether it's Texas, Italy, wherever God has you in the world, I think there is that period of stripping you of what you held on to for comfort. I mean, he's still doing that in my life. I know there's tons of things I hold on to, but I remember lots of times being on my knees sobbing, saying, why am I here, you know? And so I'm not in that period of my life anymore, so I'm thankful for that, but there are challenges that come throughout ministry. For me, one thing that came to mind for my coworkers and I in Rome is that in Italy, there's a very negative view of leadership. And so there are a lot of people struggling to be in power, but then those people are very corrupt, not all of them, but a good deal of them. So if you think over past leaders from even just this 50, 60 years, think of Mussolini, Berlusconi, names that are not very popular in the world, let alone in Italy. And so with that historical context, students, we were both involved in campus ministries where they encouraged us to lead and to share our faith with our friends, whereas in Italy, it's already very hard for them to be seen as a leader. And so that's a challenge for us that we face, because we need Italians, we need nationals to step up, and you know, they speak the language, they know the culture, they were raised there, they know how to reach their friends greater in greater ways than we can. And so a challenge for me is seeing Italian students step up. But one encouraging thing is a ministry outreach we do on a weekly basis is called Cinema Paradiso. Some of you might have heard of that movie. I just said it in an Italian accent, but it's where an older gentleman teaches a child, a young boy, about life through film. And so film has such a powerful way of reaching our hearts, and gospel themes are seen throughout film. And so we do this on a weekly basis where a student and one of the staff, we co-lead, and we pick a theme. So Kiara, I was very proud of her, did that this year. She picked The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. And her theme was, don't let people's words and what they say about you define who you are. Don't let that stop you from doing what God has called you to in life. And so she picked that theme, and what we do is talk about our own life experience related to that, and then we look at a passage of scripture when Christ speaks about it. So we're able to share the gospel through film and open up doors that maybe people wouldn't be as close to compared to, like, maybe walking into a church. So that's encouraging. We're seeing steps, even though it's a challenge, we're seeing steps towards student leadership.
That's something that I'd love to be a part of, because I'm a kind of a film guy, and I really love that. Whenever I watch a film, I think, you know, Jesus is sitting right here. I'm thinking, what is in here that's true? And you guys are using those as a tool to kind of bring Jesus to light. So is that one of the ways that you see God building his kingdom? When you've got that deficit of people not wanting to be leaders, yet they'll sit around and they'll talk about these big ideas. Is that one of the ways that you see God building his kingdom in Italy?
Yep. Amen. I mean, you have to go through, thinking through Italy is like a culture of food and spending time together and art. I mean, some of their greatest artists in the world have come from Italy. And so using those avenues to bridge to the gospel is huge. I was going to say, even though we're having challenges with student leaders, what's encouraging, we have two Italians joining staff with us, one of whom, Linda, she's from Naples, and she's coming to work with us in Rome. But our friend Josue is from Salerno, and he's a film director, speaking of movies, really, really gifted. So that's him on the left, and there's one more picture of him doing some short films on the right. And he's raising support currently to join with us using his gift for film. He sent me a quote from Thomas Edison that says, whoever controls the cinema has the power to influence the masses. And so that's so true in Italy, with a sad statistic, this will shock some of you, 0.5% of the country, 0.5% know Christ. So even in a land that seems so churched, quote unquote, they're not. Most of the students I work with are atheist, agnostic. So someone that might not walk through the doors of a church because of past, you know, hurt feelings, they'll easily accept a movie invitation. So Josue, his heart is to use his gifting to not only share Christ through film, but then to disciple and train other Christian filmmakers, Italians, to be able to share the gospel through their art in film. And so I'm excited. He's going to be coming to the States for January and February raising support, because sadly, Italy's not at a place that they're supporting their missionaries financially, and so he's going to come here. He might come through Reality's doors a little bit, but so you can pray for him as he trusts God to use him in his country. So
absolutely, absolutely. So how is God building his kingdom, in your opinion, in San Antonio? What do you see going on there?
Yeah, there is a lot going on, and even with just what you were saying out there at the end, people who wouldn't go into a church and getting just to be on campus with them. One story that comes to mind is with a woman, I guess kind of a girl, I don't know, Nancy. She reminds me of a woman because her name's Nancy. Has this good friend also named Nancy, which is weird.
So there are two young people named Nancy that you know. So
yeah, I asked them, I was like legitimately like, do you have other friends named Nancy? Like, is this a thing or what?
And it's a Texas thing.
They're the only two I've met. But, so I got to meet Nancy and just start, you know, loving on her, encouraging her, challenging her, you know, do you want to read the Bible more? Like, what does that look like for you? And she just was really, really faithful. And as we got to know one another, she was talking to a really good friend from high school named Nancy. And Nancy just by the grace of God somehow just like comes to know the Lord. And this girl, this is us three, and this girl on the left, like, she is one of the most just, like, genuine, like, lovers of Jesus that I've ever met. And she's only known him for, like, 3 months. It's been just amazing to see her whole life just transform, like, on a dime. And now she knows Jesus. This is going to be, yeah, living with us for eternity, and I'm so excited.
So life on life, just having conversations and God delivering people to you, just like the prayer that you prayed, look, I'm going to give my life, will you bring me people? Mm-hmm. And he's been doing that. Okay, that's incredible. So if you had a chance, and you do yes. have a chance to challenge Reality Church, to encourage, to challenge, to kind of poke us a little bit, and what would you say to us, to encourage us to how to live our lives, or what should we learn from what you've learned in San Antonio?
Yeah, I think I've just learned the importance of really being rooted in God and rooted in who he is, and that comes from some of my challenges, that comes from just some of my background, but seeing how me seeking him first, really the rest of it comes with it. And so in Psalm 27, David is surrounded by armies, and he doesn't ask, like, hey, could you, like, bring those armies that the other guy had, some of these, you know, he just asks, like, hey, one thing I'm going to ask for and one thing I'm going to seek after, that I would gaze upon you, I would inquire in your temple, I would know you more. And so that's just been really challenging for me in the midst of challenges, in the midst of even good things. Am I going to just ask for one thing, that I want to know God more, that I want to know who he is? And so, yeah, that would probably be the biggest thing to challenge you with, is in the midst of all this craziness, maybe even like a New Year's resolution, is I'm not going to ask for 50 pounds off or whatever. I'm going to ask that I'm going to know God more this year, that I'm going to tangibly experience him more, that I'm going to serve him more, live more in my purpose that he's destined me for, the good works that he has predestined for me. And so, yeah, I think just if you're going to ask for one thing this year, that it would be the same thing that David would ask, just that you would know God more.
That's really interesting. I mean, a lot of times we have so many things we want to fix in our lives, but I had a youth pastor who said it basically the same way. Crystal said it, until you get this relationship right, then none of these other things are going to be going well. So maybe going into January, just to say, look, I'm going to ask one thing. I want to know you this year. Come January 1st, 2016, I want to know you more than I knew you. And sometimes that can come through rough times. But all in all, it's actually a gift from God when we have those times, because we can see a side of him that we didn't know. That's excellent. What about you, Lauren? How would you challenge Reality Church?
Yeah, I think one thing that's been important for me, part of being a missionary well, the biggest part about being a missionary is walking with Jesus and then just letting your life be on display among people that don't yet know Christ. And so I think a lot of times in the U.S., yeah, it's interesting. You see things about your own culture that you would wish you could change once you step out of it. But a lot of times it's just easy to be safe, and we have garage door openers in our car, and we can just hit that button, go in. We have like those horse blinders on either side. We don't see our neighbors to the left or right, or we don't see the people at the cash register and the checkout line at the store. And to be intentional in thinking through, who has God placed in my life? And so for me in Italy, I've had to change, because I walk out my door and there's my neighbors down the hall, or there's the waitress down at the local restaurant or the coffee store who I have relationships with now, because God has worked in my own heart to say, you know what, these people don't know the Lord, and I've placed you for such a time as this on this street, Via Catania, Rome, Italy. And so as a challenge to say, who is God? Who are the Esaus, the Omids, the Kiaras in my neighborhood, at my workplace? He hasn't placed me and Crystal there, Lance. He's placed you specifically because you have a story to tell that's going to impact someone that our stories wouldn't, the same way yours would. So I'd say, just as a challenge, you know, being broken and real as a Christian, because I think the world doesn't see that. First of all, live your life among those people. But then be intentional and say, God, how are there ways that you can open the door to the gospel through my life to the people around me? So
when someone says to you, you know what, God bless your heart. I mean, I'm going to support you and pray for you, and I'm going to send a check your way, but I could never do what you're doing. How does that strike you? When?
Good one. Good pickup from the last, you know. Thanks for setting that up for me. No, I would say, I had said before that it's just really hard for me sometimes. Yeah, God can work in my heart through this, but when people say, you know, I'm going to support you and pray for you because I couldn't do what you're doing, and part of that is true, part of it is true, because God has not called you to go to Rome. If he has, please come join. I would love more team members.
Or San Antonio.
Yeah, either one. So
either,
if you
country.
Have Texan in your blood, or if you're an Italian-American especially, I'd love you to come. I have no Italian in me, sadly. But I think what's hard for me is when they say, yeah, I couldn't do what you do. Sure, God has not called you to Italy, but he has called you to do the same thing here, to be a missionary here in Papillion, Bellevue, Omaha, wherever you are. And so just as an encouragement to you, you have the same Holy Spirit in you. You have the same power of the gospel in your life. So we're all missionaries.
Yeah, not only can we must, right? I mean, we've got so many people that we know that are far from God. We live in a country that has... You know, we might have a lot of church people going to church, and maybe a percentage. People argue even about what that percentage is, but I've read some stats that say about 8% of people in our country are following after Jesus right now. That's 92% that aren't. And I have seen so many people come through these doors, and the reason they came was because you invested in their lives. And it's not about coming through these doors; it's about that investment that's happening Monday through Saturday. Not only can we do this, we must do this. Every single person in this room who's a believer is a missionary. Every single one of us. Just like they are, at different places. And yes, we do need to send support their way, and we do that collectively as a church, but you can also, by the way, choose to support them, your family, just get invested in what they're doing and choose to support them individually and get feedback from them about what's going on at their place of ministry. Yes, we're going to do that, but we can't forget that we live in this place for a purpose, that we work at the place that we work for a purpose. We are missionaries right now, and we're called to do that sort of work every single day. So I want to once again thank so much Crystal and Lauren for being here and for sharing what God is doing in their ministry.